Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
I was thinking today about the time I spent with that wonderful young woman, Helen Keller. Helen Keller, as all of you know, lost the ability to see and to hear sometime before she was the age of 2. I don't know how long before that she lost it. But she went on to become one of the most remarkable Americans. Know what I said, Americans, not male or female Americans. She was one of the most remarkable of all Americans. The first time I met her, she was, I believe, 14 years old. And it was at a reception where there were a number of people there to be introduced to her. And she shook hands with all the guests. And after that ceremony was finished, someone said to her teacher, Ann Sullivan, "If Helen shakes hands with us again, will she be able to tell the name of each guest just from the feel of their hand?" And Miss Sullivan said, "Oh, yes, Helen will have no problem doing that." Well, I found that to be remarkable, if true. So one by one, the guests again shook hands with Helen, and she knew them by name until she shook hands with Henry Rogers, the vice president of Standard Oil. And when she shook his hand, Helen said, "I'm glad to meet you now, but I have not met you before." And Henry Rogers said, "Yes, I shook hands with you earlier." And there was some confusion. And finally, the issue was settled when Miss Sullivan reminded all of us that the first time Helen shook Mr. Rogers' hand, he was wearing a glove. That's why she failed to recognize him. Now, Helen Keller asked me years later to be to help her with a philanthropic project, which was to raise money for the adult blind, and I was happy to help any way I could. I attended a meeting in New York City to help organize the meeting. And it happened that I had to leave early to attend another event. On my way out the door, I patted Helen on top of her head as I passed. And Miss Sullivan said, "Mr. Clemens, stop. Helen's sad because she didn't recognize the feel of your hand." I patted her on the head again. And then she said, "Mr. Clemens, are you leaving?" I've never understood how she knew that was my hand petting her softly on the head. The only thing I can guess is that she could somehow feel the wrinkles in my fingers because of my advanced age. Other than that, I am incompetent to figure it out. Now, at the event in New York, Helen had written a letter to be read, but she was unable to attend because she fell ill. And she asked if I could read the letter. I agreed to do just that. And I believe, It is the most moving, the most beautiful, the most eloquent letter I've ever read. If I know anything about literature, this is a remarkable example of it. And this, in part, is Helen's letter. To know what the blind man needs, you who can see must imagine what it would be not to see. And you can imagine it more vividly if you remember that before your journey's end, you may have to go the dark way yourself. Try to realize what blindness means to those whose joyous activity is stricken to inaction. It is to live long, long days. And life is made up of days. It is to live immured, impotent, all God's world shut out. It is to sit helpless, defrauded, while your spirit strains and tugs at its fetters, and your shoulders ache for the burden they are denied, the rightful burden of labor. The seeing man goes about his business confident and self-dependent. He does his share of the work in mine, in quarry, in factory, in counting room, asking of others no boon, save the opportunity to do a man's work. In an instant, accident blinds him. The day is blotted out. Night envelops all the visible world. The feet which once bore him to his task with firm and confident stride stumble and halt and fear the forward step. He is forced to a new kind of idleness, which like a canker consumes and destroys its beautiful faculties. Memory confronts him with his lighted past. Amid the tangible ruins of his life, as it promised to be, he gropes his pitiful way. You have met him on your busy thoroughfares with faltering feet and outstretched hands, patiently dredging the universal dark, holding out for sale his petty wares or his cap for your pennies. And this was a man with ambitions and capabilities. It is because we know that these ambitions and capabilities can be fulfilled that we are working to improve the condition of the adult blind. You cannot bring back the light to the vacant eyes, but you can give a helping hand to the sightless along their dark pilgrimage. You could teach them new skill for work they once did with the aid of their eyes. You can substitute work that they can do with their hands. They ask only opportunity, and opportunity is a torch in darkness. They crave no charity, no pension, but the satisfaction that comes from lucrative toil. And this satisfaction is the right of every human being. And then she wrote a note to me. At your meeting, New York will speak its word for the blind. And when New York speaks, the world answers. The true message of New York is not the commercial ticking of busy telegraphs, but the mighty utterances of such gatherings as yours. Of late, our periodicals have been filled with depressing revelations of great social evils. Querulous critics have pointed to every flaw in our civic structure, we have listened long enough to the pessimists. You once told me you were a pessimist, Mr. Clemens, but great men are usually mistaken about themselves. You are an optimist. If you were not, you would not preside at the meeting, for it is an answer to pessimism. It proclaims that the heart and wisdom of a great city are devoted to the good of mankind, that in this, the busiest city in the world, no cry of distress goes up, but receives a compassionate and generous answer. Rejoice that the cause of the blind has been heard in New York, for the day after, it shall be heard round the world. Yours sincerely, Helen Keller, March 27, 1906.